This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Severe storms hit the Northeast, damaging winds and flooding Thursday night. There were ground stops at airports in Washington, D.C., Baltimore, and Newark. Hundreds of flights canceled, thousands delayed, and at the peak, over 500,000 customers without power. A teenager struck by lightning in New York Central Park. He's recovering. And now the heat is on for millions. Extreme temperatures for much of the nation, including parts of California, under extreme heat warnings. The White House giving us a timetable on a potential Iran attack plan, saying that President Trump will make a decision within the next 2 weeks.
All of this is coming as European leaders are expecting to meet with the Iranians in Geneva. One senior official telling us the president hopes this two-week timeline will, quote, give the Iranians some room to come to their senses. But make no mistake, the president still has this high-stakes decision to make, and he's now given himself a deadline to make it.
That's ABC's Mary Bruce. This is ABC News. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy in San Diego touring some of the current air traffic control facilities at San Diego International Airport. Duffy is also touting the sweeping budget bill that the House has passed, saying it sets aside billions to upgrade the nation's air traffic control system and predicts that it would take about 3 to 4 years to complete.
We're using 1970s radar. In that money, we get new radar as well. And we're going to have money to upgrade some of the towers, not all of them, and have a new in-route facility that's going to be funded.
Now, a few weeks ago, this would have been unthinkable, but Newark Airport is now not just the number one on-time airport in the New York City area, but the number one on-time airport in America, among the top 15 largest airports. That data from United Airlines. A month ago, it was dead last because of air traffic control glitches and a closed runway, staffing shortages. Getting that runway reopened apparently made the difference. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Soda. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers open a three-game series tonight against the Minnesota Twins. The crew held on to beat the Cubs 8-7, thanks to closer Trevor McGill, who had several pitches over the plate called balls instead of strikes. Was the home plate umpire erratic? We asked Pat Murphy.
Erratic. Is there a strategy?
Was he? You said it. I did not say that.
Correct. I said it.
It's a waste of time, in my opinion, for managers to address umpires on balls and strikes. It's a waste of time.
Basketball, the Pacers came roaring back with a 108-91 victory over the Thunder in the NBA Finals. Oshkosh, Wisconsin's Tyrese Halliburton on the decision to play despite a strained calf muscle injury.
I just wanted to be out there and fight, and just had to have an honest conversation with coach that, you know, if I didn't look like myself and, you know, was hurting the team, like, sit me down.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton. Game 7, Sunday night in Oklahoma City. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Increasing clouds, a few showers developing toward sunrise, lows in the mid-60s, light south to southwest winds. Showers and storms for the first half of your Friday, then clouds will clear a bit at a warm first day of summer, highs in the mid-80s, and a gusty south breeze. Right now, it's 64.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area will be here to recap all of the week's news. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content. Can't wait.
That is what our framers intended, and I don't care if it's your team winning today, it won't always be that way. So what in the heck are they doing?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Are you kidding me?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I think that speaks to Wisconsinites in a really special way that I've been to 15 baseball stadiums. It ain't the same in other places.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Juneteenth, everybody. I am so excited to be celebrating with all of you and our next panel of fabulous female Black leaders. I am joined this afternoon by Sabrina Madison. She is the CEO of the Progress Center for Black Women. She's also a City of Madison, District 17 Alderwoman. I love that your campaign slogan was Madison for Madison. I mean,
yes, pretty simple to the point.
Right? I'm going to remember that. And I also loved our next guest campaign slogan, Data for Dane County. Her name's Dana Pelabon. She is the executive director of the RCC Sexual Violence Resource Center in Madison, and she's also a former Dane County supervisor. We're going to talk more about I had to get a huge, big piece of paper to put all of your bona fides, ladies. These are fabulous resumes. We're going to talk about your amazing experiences. But Sabrina, Dana, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Let's start with the basics. I had Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman on last hour to define Juneteenth. But just in case someone is newly joining us because they just finished up their work day, Sabrina, tell folks what Juneteenth is if they haven't heard of it before.
Yeah, I mean, personally for me, it's just an opportunity to sort of reflect and celebrate freedom, but, you know, beyond sort of like what we can see and enjoy today, but like all of the decades of hard work and brilliance that other people poured in before Dana and I, before any of us really were even born and considered, you know, that's what it means to me. It's sort of like reflecting on this history and this hard work that folks who came before me put in and celebrating that work while reflecting and thinking about what comes next for us. To be honest with you, too, and it's also about being in the moment. You know, yes. We don't oftentimes get to take the day off and be in the moment and just enjoy ourselves. So it's also a little bit of turn up for me. So.
Yeah, being in community, especially yeah. in these times, is so important. That sense of safety and sort of family mm-hmm. that you get. Dana, what about for you? What's Juneteenth mean for you?
So, you know, I'm from the South. I spent a good portion of my time in the South when I was growing up. And when I was younger, Juneteenth was like, this was Texas. Like, this was a firm Texas thing. And we celebrated it, but not in the same way that Texas did. So as an adult, as this has become a national holiday and how history is now being taught differently and propaganda is not being accepted in spaces, this day is a day that we can reflect about how Black folks have in so many different levels and ways been on the receiving end of harm, but yet we beautifully, beautifully continue to grow, and our community gets strong, and the community now that exists around Juneteenth that didn't exist like this when I was a kid, but as an adult and as something that I can bring to my staff, bring to my kids, bring to the people around me. This day is a very different day than what it used to be years ago, but always focused on spaces and Blackness and community. Even back in the day, it was community and Blackness, and reminding folks you can't keep us back.
Absolutely. Sabrina, I spent some time on your website, which is www.centerforblackwomen.org. And the first thing that I heard in your video was, I think it's like the first thing that you say when it starts, I want to help Black women win.
Yes.
And I was, that just spoke to me like, yes. And then a little bit further on, you said this, you don't need to come in here and have it all together. And I was really touched and moved by that. Can you tell people a little bit about what that means? Like, why do you do the work that you do to help lift up Black women as executives, as leaders, as entrepreneurs?
Yeah, that really came from growing up in Milwaukee. I grew up in a predominantly Black neighborhood, mostly Black schools. Most of my employers or folks I work with were Black, or Black women specifically. And growing up in Milwaukee, having like this circle around me, this network around me that poured into me, and then seeing Black women be owners, doers, business owners, homeowners, executives, bankers. And then when I moved to Madison, I was like, what is happening here? What is happening? I am not seeing the same level of Black women leading and owning and doing. Not that we are not doing those things, but it's almost like we sort of get our ambition cut off by having to carry such a larger burden around racism here in Madison. And so having worked for Madison College for about 10 and 12 years, where honestly, it was thanks to being union back before 810, at time that I was able to grow so quickly, my income raised pretty quickly. And I was doing this without having had a degree, for example. And I quit my job, literally quit, walked out one day, was like, I'm done. I'm going to go work for myself and Black women. I would go on to create conferences and expos, just centering Black women's ability to grow in their workplace. And then I started thinking, I travel a lot. And when I'm in Atlanta or Charlotte or New Orleans, what I've created here in Madison is not unique to other parts of the country. There are spaces that center Black women, and they're overwhelming in numbers. You don't have to do a lot of Googling or searching or, you know, asking around where these spaces are. They just exist. And I have them. I'm thankful that I grew up in predominantly Black women-led spaces, homes, neighborhoods, jobs, schools, right? So I'm in Madison, and the thing that sort of like really brought it home for me, I was at a space in Atlanta called the Gathering Space. And I'm telling you, this space was so Black. Oh my gosh. You know, the food, the ambiance, the people. And I was like, oh my gosh, when I come, y'all don't know how hurt. Dana likely experiences this. My heart was broken having to come home.
Yeah.
I come home on a flight first thing in the morning. I go from a predominantly Black energy to get out at the airport at Dane County Airport. Super white.
Super white.
I'm telling you, I go to work that morning at Madison College. I'm looking around. And I love my coworkers. They're great people. Yeah. But they were all white. They weren't Black women. My heart was broken back then. And so I began to sketch out mentally what would it look like for a space that centers Black women. So once I raised some money to do it, I went to Black women, told me, what do y'all want to see? They helped me by giving me, you know, what they like to see, like purple chairs, you know, like feeling like royalty, feeling like they see themselves and represented there. And that's what I delivered. I'm not a designer. So if you ever look at the website, didn't do none of it. I just raised the money, cut the check to somebody who can do it. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
So at the end of the day, it really came down to I didn't see enough Black women here winning. And since creating, you know, Leap, quitting that job, I've helped a lot of Black women win over the years. So
I love that. And I can just, the only way that I can relate to what you're saying as a white woman is I had the blessing and fortune to go to very diverse schools. I went to Rufus King High School for the College Bound in Milwaukee. Go Generals. Yes. And then I went to Marquette and I was like, where did all of these rich white people come from? I had literally just not ever been in that environment, right? Nobody I knew had credit cards that their parents were paying. It was very foreign to me. And Elle, we're so happy to have you, folks. We are now joined by Elle Halo of Trance Consulting. Fabulous to have you, Elle. Happy Juneteenth to you, my friend.
Thank you. Sorry. I actually just got back.
You're fine. No worries. Okay. We are so blessed to have you folks. If you're just joining us, let me reintroduce you to our amazing panel of Black women leaders from all across the state. We've got Sabrina Madison, CEO of the Progress Center for Black Women. We've got Dana Pelabon, Executive Director of the RCC Sexual Violence Resource Center and former Dane County Supervisor. And we also have Elle Halo, a woman of trans experience, a fabulous Black woman, and an LGBTQ health equity advocate, educator, model, writer, activist, singer. I'm going to keep talking about this all day. I'm so excited to be with all of you, especially in this moment when it is Black women under attack, right? Like, it is so out in the open. It is so aggressive. It is so acute. And I was really inspired, Dana, and I was wondering if you could speak to the actual renaming of your organization, which happened very recently, to expand the understanding of what sexual violence is. So to go from the metaphorical or the big picture into a very, very narrow lens, tell us why your organization renamed itself. And by the way, you can learn more about the RCC Sexual Violence Resource Center at www.thercc.org. Dana?
Yeah, so actually I was brought into RCC to change how they do their model of advocacy and ensure that we were including LGBTQ folks, Black folks, specifically Black women, because we know the perpetration for Black women and Black trans women is higher than anybody else, right? And when I started at RCC, we did not have a model that spoke to how our community works. Instead, it was a therapeutic model. You came in once a week. There was not the care, the consideration, and the holistic viewpoint of what a survivor needs in the moment, because it may not be the thing that actually is connected to the assault. And then the other thing that we started doing is listening to people, listening to survivors, and especially our youth and our Black and brown youth and our queer youth. And what they all told us was seeing the words Rape Crisis Center was emotionally activating for them. That was hard because a lot of people don't encompass their experience as rape. So we as an organization sat down and really thought through what our values were, what our stances were, where it is that we land and where it is that we land on the anti-racism, anti-oppression, and how we want to move that and that included expanding the definition of what it was that people want their experience to look like. So it's not just one thing, it's so many things. And I see somebody was given a 2, so I want to be very cognizant of time.
You're good. You just keep talking. If you see me say, we got to wrap, then we got to wrap. But you were talking about the work, and it is so important. As a survivor myself, and having spoken to many other survivors, that many of many of whom will not do not tolerate well the use of the word rape, even in passing conversation. So I was really touched and moved by that deliberateness and that intentionality behind it. We are celebrating Juneteenth, specifically fabulous Black women leaders from all across Wisconsin. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're going to want to keep it locked here. We continue our discussion with Elle, Sabrina, and Dana on the other side. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Juneteenth, everybody. We'll be right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Environmental groups say the Midwest grid operator, MISO, is pushing an emergency energy plan that discriminates against wind and solar, the two cheapest ways to produce energy in our state. The plan favors fast-tracking construction of gas-burning power plants at the expense of clean energy projects. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission rejected a similar plan from MISO last month, but environmental groups say this one is even worse, with few guardrails to ensure fossil fuel projects are actually needed. Once again, Wisconsin had the biggest wild turkey season in North America. More than 50,000 wild turkeys were harvested in our state this spring. The Department of Natural Resources reintroduced the birds into our ecosystem in 1976 and has been managing the hunt ever since. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us now.
Three in four people have no idea that the hospital I work at in northern Minnesota will likely close if this big, beautiful bill passes, as will the hospital in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. So it is incumbent upon us to have these conversations with each other, not in a hostile way, but in a genuine way about our values and the things that we deeply care about.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on...
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Everybody, welcome back if you are rejoining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we are celebrating Juneteenth all afternoon long. I am so privileged to be joined by three amazing Black women leaders from all across Wisconsin. We've got Sabrina Madison. She is the CEO of the Progress Center for Black Women, which helps Black women with entrepreneurship, financial literacy, and as she puts it, just winning, which I love. It is simple and to the point. We've got Dana Pelabon. She's the executive director of the RCC Sexual Violence Resource Center in Madison. She's a former Dane County supervisor. Sabrina, also an older woman in Madison. And we are joined by the fabulous Elle Halo from Trance Consulting. By the way, your makeup looks fabulous. If you want to check out Elle's amazing makeup, go watch us on Civic Media's YouTube channel. Elle, you are a community activist, and I was really moved. I went and checked out your website, of course, at trancebyellehalo.com. That's trancebyellehalo.com. Let's talk about the Paris Tika Mahon Memorial Transition Fund. What is it, and how can people get involved?
Thank you so much. It'll bring me joy to talk about it. The Curtis Sinkin Mahal Memorial Transition Fund and my is my flagship program of my organization, Trans Consulting. I've done a lot of public health consulting. I've done grant reviewing. Here in Wisconsin, I did grant reviewing for the Department of Justice 2 or 3 years ago for the Violence Against Women Act, Dana. And I definitely have followed you in the RCC. How you say it? RCC? RCC what?
But, RCC, okay. Sexual Violence Resource Center. You're all
okay. Yes. Okay. Yes. The RCC. Yes. I've done a lot of things with the mayor and the city's office. I just became an equal rights commissioner. We just had a hearing yesterday, so I would actually love to talk about that as well. But the Transition Fund, I actually started raising money through grant writing, through writing just an independent grassroots organizer level grant in like 2019. And I knew I wanted to build up to starting an organization, but I definitely wasn't ready in 2019. I officially opened my business in 2022.
And I love, if I can just jump in, I love the fact of what TRANCE stands for. Transformative, radical action necessary for change and evolution. I was like, I need to get that tattooed on me because that is what we need to be doing in these moments.
I want to talk about that. Intellectual Please. Property, like that is yes. what that is. And it's not even, it didn't start off as an acronym. But, you know, I wanted something that I could work with and, you know, find that meeting. And like the Transition Fund, this kind of just happened. So I started kind of like grant writing and just, you know, over the pandemic, we did a lot of mutual aid and things like that. And, yep. we were able to take Black trans women to the National Action Network March in D.C. in 2020. We've taken about almost... 15 and 20 different trans people to the Black Trans Advocacy Coalition Conference, which is another organization I work for. And so anyway, so 2019, I'm like still kind of young, right? I've lived all over Milwaukee. I grew up in Sherman Park. I love Sherman Park. And I'm a true Milwaukeean. And so anyway, so I'm still kind of young, right? So I'm like figuring it out. And then I ended up joining the state HIV board. And so we lost an elder named Paris Sinkin Mahal. And she was a founding member of our Black trans women's group, SHIVA, at Diverse and Resilient. She passed away kind of suddenly just before the pandemic. And so I knew I wanted to start with doing something to honor her. And then we were hit with a series of murders of Black trans women and femmes here in Milwaukee.
Yes.
There have been 6 murders in the last 4 years. And so that kind of became my focus. But I work very hard to not be pigeonholed into HIV work and prevention as a trans woman, as a PrEP advocate. I work very hard to build a platform about joy, and the Transition Fund really stands for joy and bringing that joy to the community, and even me personally as an organizer getting back to joy.
I when I watched your video on your website, yes, I noted that you talked about an abundance mindset, and I actually want to start with that here and ask each of you a related question. We might not be able to get through all 3 of you before we have to take care of a little business of our own, but one of the things that has always bothered me about the political frame that we've got is what you hear from the right most frequently it is this message of zero sum, right? Of false choices, this idea of false scarcity, right? It's pitting communities against each other. And it is so deeply fracturing. You know, there is an abundance here. We can all do better. We do that when we do that together and lifting communities up. And this tension that has been created between and among folks that have more in common than any of us may realize. We're going to talk about that, about having an abundance mindset, about reframing what we can and must do from that abundance mindset. I've got three fabulous Black women leaders with me celebrating Juneteenth with each and every one of you. It is Thursday afternoon. I hope it's wrapping up wonderfully for you. Stick with us. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is The Maggie Dawn Show, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
News. I'm Dave Packer. Severe storms hit the Northeast, damaging winds and flooding Thursday night. There were ground stops at airports in Washington, D.C., Baltimore, and Newark. Hundreds of flights canceled, thousands delayed, and at the peak, over 500,000 customers without power. A teenager struck by lightning in New York Central Park. He's recovering. And now the heat is on for millions. Extreme temperatures for much of the nation, including parts of California, under extreme heat warnings. The White House giving us a timetable on a potential Iran attack plan, saying that President Trump will make a decision within the next 2 weeks.
All of this is coming as European leaders are expecting to meet with the Iranians in Geneva. One senior official telling us the president hopes this two-week timeline will, quote, give the Iranians some room to come to their senses. But make no mistake, the president still has this high-stakes decision to make, and he's now given himself a deadline to make it.
That's ABC's Mary Bruce. This is ABC News.
The Brewers head to Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers open a three-game series tonight against the Minnesota Twins. The crew held on to beat the Cubs 8-7, thanks to closer Trevor McGill, who had several pitches over the plate called balls instead of strikes. Was the home plate umpire erratic? We asked Pat Murphy.
Erratic. Is there a strategy?
Was he? You said it. I did not say that.
Correct. I said it.
It's a waste of time, in my opinion, for managers to address umpires on balls and strikes. It's a waste of time.
Basketball, the Pacers came roaring back with a 108-91 victory over the Thunder in the NBA Finals. Oshkosh, Wisconsin's Tyrese Halliburton on the decision to play despite a strained calf muscle injury.
I just wanted to be out there and fight, and just had to have an honest conversation with coach that, you know, if I didn't look like myself and, you know, was hurting the team, like, sit me down.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton. Game 7, Sunday night in Oklahoma City. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. No superhero movie will go into production without a finished script. It sounds like a no-brainer, but it had to be said. That is a declaration in the DC Universe by CEO James Gunn. Gunn says the movie industry is dying due to this very practice. Gunn, who's also made movies at Marvel Cinemas, says they are guilty of it too. The Guardians of the Galaxy trilogy director-producer says it's not that people don't want to see movies, it's just that studios make unfinished scripts. Everything starts with the script. Well, NBC tried to make a case for a Night Court reboot, and it was an okay idea for 3 seasons, but will not see a fourth. The original Night Court ran for 9 seasons in the 80s and starred Harry Anderson. Melissa Rauch took over behind the bench for the new iteration and said recently producers shopped the reboot to other networks after NBC canceled it in May. According to Variety, the show premiered in 2023 to excellent ratings and was almost immediately renewed, but the ratings dropped off fast and hard. Tough biz. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Increasing clouds, a few showers developing towards sunrise, lows in the mid-60s, light south to southwest winds. Showers and storms for the first half of your Friday, then clouds will clear a bit at a warm first day of summer, highs in the mid-80s, and a gusty south breeze. Right now, it's 64.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, Vitaly's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that. Back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Quinn Hurley to discuss the Green Bay Tattoo Festival. Chris Ruckdoshel joins me to talk about Muskie Fest in Hayward, and Terry Barr is back from vacation for Bar Band Friday. Let's light it up.
Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome, everybody. Respect, indeed, and I have buckets of it for our fabulous panel of amazing Black female leaders from across the state. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Juneteenth, everybody. We have a show-long celebration of Black Americans, and specifically these amazing Black female leaders. We've got Sabrina Madison, CEO of the Progress Center for Black Women. She's also a Madison Alderwoman. We've got Dana Pelabon joining us. She's the Executive Director of the RCC Sexual Violence Resource Center. She's also a former Dane County Supervisor. And we've got L. Halo, founder and CEO of Trans Consulting. Ladies, before the break, we were talking about an abundance mindset. And I really have always thought, sort of in the line of like bell hooks and transformative love and vulnerability and togetherness, that coming to a lot of places and spaces with an abundance mindset, and oh, were it that way in our political sphere, right? I think so much is being driven in this moment by this concept of false scarcity and then fracturing communities apart and pitting us against folks that we have so much more in common with than divides us. And so I wanted to ask each of you about how you see that abundance mindset showing up in your work, because when I was reading about all of your accomplishments and the work that you do now, that was coming through to me. Elle planted the seed in my head with her amazing video on her website, which is trancebyellehalo.com. But Sabrina, let me start with you. How does the abundance mindset show up in your work as the CEO of the Progress Center for Black Women?
Yeah, it really, to me, honestly, comes down to community care. Oftentimes, we don't believe we have a lot or enough, but if we really think about it, we have tons of resources, whether our resources at home, our resources can be our external professional networks, for example. We absolutely have much to give each other. And in a time where we're living with this return of the person in the White House right now, it's more important to lean on the kind of abundance that we can access, which is each other through community care. Probably the quickest example I can give you is during the pandemic, we switched what we were doing day to day to focus on just going by Black women's houses, whether we were dropping off a check or sharing a resource on where a food pantry might be coming up, or sitting outside coloring with a Black woman for a half hour, an hour, because she was missing social connection. So really, for me, abundance comes down. Having an abundance mindset is oftentimes even more so important for me about leaning into community care, because, you know, I'm not wealthy. I don't have a ton of financial resources, but I do have a pretty expansive professional and social network that I can lean on.
Yeah, especially in these times, right? Overall employment has gone up. Our economy has added 177,000 jobs since the beginning of the year. And yet black women have lost 233,000 jobs. Women and black women especially don't often have the financial backings of wealthy parents or, you know, other basically benefactors when times get hard or jobs are lost. And so
other organizations.
Yes, that is so absolutely essential. Elle, as long as you're please go ahead. How does abundance mindset show up in your work?
I think abundance mindset for me definitely ties into Juneteenth in that my mom is a minister. And so for me, it's faith-based. And I'm a spiritual person. And I've grown and had a journey as a spiritual person, as a Christian, and just in my spirituality and being a Black woman of trans experience and being a two-spirited person is how I identify. That includes the tenacity to keep going no matter what, to have the faith to say, regardless of the world, the entire world can be against me, you know, and still being able to push on. I think that's a legacy that we walk in as a Black trans woman here in Milwaukee. I walk in that legacy following in behind Josie Carter, who led the Black Night Brawl. We walk in that same memory of Juneteenth and that same memory and spirit of the ancestors all the time with Marsha P. Johnson. I've been able to have a personal connection with just in the nature of the work and in the nature of the experiences that I'm privileged to have. Miss Major lived in Wisconsin a couple years ago. We banned conversion therapy. And when she was 14 years old, like in the 50s, she moved to Wisconsin. I don't know if it was like the 50s, it might have been like the 70s. I have no idea what time it was, not to put
new
age on Miss Major. But yes, on Miss Major, everybody tried to put too many years on her name. But yes, you know, I've been able to see her this year two or three times and be able to have personal conversation with her in Boston for the 25th anniversary of Trans Day of Remembrance and getting to experience the Boston community and them standing in the legacy of Rita Hester, who was killed there, and having that connection with the violence and the murders here in Milwaukee that I've been kind of standing and doing as much as I can, and I just hope and pray every day that I can continue to do more for the trans community because of the violence. And that's violence that I definitely am a survivor and have been a survivor of many different things throughout my life, as well as sexual assault, as well as harassment, stalking, cyber stalking, and different things like that. And those are the types of things that we have to deal with all the time as Black trans women. Domestic violence, all those things, is the types of things that we have to deal with as Black trans women. And we also deal with that stigma. But again, I think all Black women, wherever you fall on the spectrum of being a femme, being a marginalized gender, being QTPLC, wherever you fall on that spectrum, I think that we all walk in the tenacity that Black women have as well to say again that I'm no matter what the odds are, no matter what the oppression is, we're going to continue to press forward and do that not just for ourselves, but do it as a backbone for the rest of the community as well.
That's so inspiring. Again, you look at every single justice movement in this country's history. Mm-hmm. Black women, right? None of that happens without Black women. So thank you so much.
I think
much,
abundance though. Specifically means that we already have what we need. Community already has what we need. Black women already have what we need. We need people to get out the way. We need people to step down out of their positions and to transition the correct way and invest in youth and in leadership that looks different than them, the correct way, and mentor them, not pushing you to the side, but now it's time to transition to let new leadership, new ideas be able to come in, but also giving them the training, the skills, and the time and effort and personal relationship and development that it takes to build a new generation of leadership, because a lot of the things that we have all seen, and we must agree, no matter what age group or demographic you're in, a lot of the stuff is not working. It has not been working for obviously since the beginning of the country. So we have a lot of work to do. And I think that we should do that. I think that we should do it, but do it with, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I feel like this is like another like church thing. Like, do it. We should do it with like urgency and joy.
Urgency and joy.
Yeah.
Urgency and joy. Dana, yeah. How does the abundance mindset fit and show up in your work?
So specifically at RCC, what it looks like is that we don't say no. We always try to find what are the needs of the community and fulfill those needs. And it's one of the reasons why we have expanded our services. We have looked at all of our programming to make sure that it actually fits what the community is asking from us, that our educational programming in the schools is exactly what is needed, and that we are giving the message about prevention. We are giving the message about anti-oppression, because we know that we can't eradicate sexual violence until we eradicate all forms of oppression. It's all interlinked, and we talk very specifically about that in our schools. We talk very specifically about making sure that people have what they need. So I think about what Sabrina says, what Ellie says. It is all about ensuring that the resources in a community are getting into the right spaces, getting into the right hands, the people that need them. And like Elle said, people need to step out of the way. Mm. More often than not, we have the answers. We have the answers. We understand what is needed for our community. We don't need you to come in with another survey, with another group. The abundance is in the brilliance that is in our community. That abundance is there. And how we enact it, you know, I can enact it in 17 different ways at RCC, whether that be expanding our programming to make sure that people get free therapy, to expanding what it is that we do artistic. So I'm a theater director, producer. So we are building the Center for Black Excellence. And that is in an artistic space that's very specifically about abundance of Black art in space, and a building that is set up for our community, and not just one part of the community, but looking at it holistically, looking at health, looking at finances, looking at art, looking at what it is that the community is asking from us. And it's the thing that I love the best about the two other women's work that I sit here and I watch. I watch Sabrina Madison a lot. She listens to the community. I watch Elle. They listen to the community, and none of this brilliance and none of this abundance comes from outside of ourselves. It becomes because we are in spaces doing the work, and we understand what work is needed. And I'm going to need, and I'm going to say this real specifically, I'm going to need white folks to get out of the way and allow Black women to lead. And instead of tearing down Black women because you don't like how it is that we say something, understand, we know what our community needs, because we have been the backbone of this community from the get. And that does not mean that our Black men do not do the same things for us, but we are the birthers, we are the nurturers, we are the doers, and that is where that abundance lies. And so we need to rely on that.
Y'all built the table, right? You should be sitting at it. It is really a privilege and such a honor to have you all with me today. It's moving, and it reminds me about being in movement and being in community. And it reminds me when I need to get out of the way. I want to talk about claiming space for yourselves, what that means for each of you. And we want to get to, in this last segment coming up here, if white folk listening to this want to be true allies, what does that look like? How do we get out of the way better? And perhaps it's to have some of these kinds of conversations and listen. I'm going to be doing more of that on the other side so that these three fabulous black female leaders can speak more of their truths. Please stay with us. Happy Juneteenth Day. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Matt and Air on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Weather and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Juneteenth Day. It has been a show-long celebration of freedom, and especially a celebration and elevation of Black women's voices leading in our communities, the center of every community, and the catalyst of every justice movement in American history. I've got Sabrina Madison with us. She's the CEO of the Progress Center for Black Women in Madison. She's also an alderwoman there. We've got Dana Pelleban, Executive Director of the RCC Sexual Violence Resource Center. She's also a former Dane County Supervisor. And we have the fabulous Elle Halo, CEO and founder of Trans consulting. She is a model, an actress, a singer, a poet. D, all of the above is what I'm going to say. All fabulous things. We were talking about white folks getting out of the way. And so I wanted to start with the idea of claiming space and what that means for you and how you've each had to do that, especially in your professional careers. I think all women do it. I think the double whammy of misogynoir poses a particular challenge in workspaces for Black women. So Dana, I wanted to start with you. If you can speak to how you've had to claim your space in your career and how you went about doing that.
Well, I just have to keep pushing. Yeah. There is no one that's going to give me space. Mm. So essentially, I just make it. I create communities. I say, this is what I want to be in my space. This is how I want my space to look. My workplace is very specific in how it is that we do things, because I want to create a space that isn't traumatic. I want to create a space that goes along with our values. And otherwise, I push my way in every single time. There needs to be more access to spaces. And the only way that you're going to have access to those spaces is the people that are in them have got to step away and say, maybe it is not my time. Even though you specifically, the person, may not have had the opportunity, your folks have had the opportunity for the entirety of the history of this country. So it is time for you to actually put your money and your votes where your mouth is.
Mm. Yeah, you're conjuring up the challenge, especially for women entrepreneurs, venture capitalists. Like the disparities there are just insane. And there's the whole litany of garbage reasons that especially white men do not get tested for when they're asking and seeking for angel investors and startup funds. Sabrina, that brings me to mind your work, of course, at the Progress Center for Black Women, and trying to really instill, again, financial freedom, economic freedom, right? Like that is the key. And then being able to pass and give some of your wealth, generational wealth, right? The white people's affirmative action of the entire history of the country. If you can speak to your mission and why this came to you and your experience of sharing with other Black women how you claim space as a professional.
Yeah, it will have to come down to back when I first started, I was a member at 100 State. 100 State definitely was a super white space, young white men who were in a tech scene. But what I got from that was they all poured into each other's startup. And I was fortunate at the time to be a part of that because they were also, to a degree, poured into my ideas that I was, percolating. But there was a white dude who was an older white guy, owned a successful business here locally. This man just cut me a check. We just sitting here ideating, talking about our ideas, and he cut me a check. So one way that folks, especially if you have wealth, you should be cutting a check to help launch people's Black women's ideas. Folks, sometimes people say, we don't know if this is going to work. I've seen plenty of young white men catch thousands of dollars and their companies have failed within 2 years.
Right.
2 years. And then the last thing I'll just say, my goal is, help Black women win. The one thing I still cannot stand today is when people gatekeep resources. You should not have to pay for what is free. So if one thing I don't do and I will always do, I can do it in my sleep, is help you access a free resource. For example, like with my business development center, that is free. No one should be paying for a free Q&A entrepreneurial service, for example. So if you're a white man, white woman, and you have a ridiculous amount of wealth, cut a check without all the mess and the BS. Support things that align with your own personal and professional values without the drama added to it. Literally. That's all you got to do. Oh, I'm sorry. Google is free and libraries. I cannot help you get yourself together. You have to really access free resources to do that internal work on yourself. So
And that ChatGPT, there's a free version. I mean, use AI for lever, right? That's Sabrina Madison. She's the CEO of the Progress Center for Black Women. Find her work. Find the center at centerforblackwomen.org. You heard earlier from Dana Palaban. She's with the RCC Sexual Violence Resource Center, their executive director. Find more about the RCC at thercc.org. And my friend Elle, you are going to have the last words of the day. We have about a minute left. I want to talk about, ask you, you can say whatever you would like. You can address claiming your space or whatever other wisdom that you would like to share with us. The floor is yours.
Thank you. I think the claiming of space is something that QTPOC people, trans people, and Black women are experts in. And I think that we need to look at our intellectual property, like I said, as our expertise, whether that's even doing hair to whatever it is. And the gifts that we've been given in abundance are what is a part of your calling. And I think that for those of us where community is a part of our calling and building community is a part of our calling, we need for people to have a reality check about the political situation, the political persecution, and please support the peer-to-peer community.
Thank you so much. I celebrate and elevate each and every one of you. You can find their websites on our show notes. Sabrina Madison.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on Civic Media App.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump has set a new timeline for any potential U.S. action on Iran, which continues to exchange missile attacks with Israel. The White House says the president will make a decision within the next 2 weeks. ABC's Mary Bruce has more from the White House.
According to a source, the president is troubled by the deep divisions in his own party about what he should do, hold out for negotiations or join the attack. One key ally who's been urging restraint, Steve Bannon, spotted at the White House. One source telling us Trump is trying to psych himself up, convince himself that whatever he ultimately decides to do is warranted.
An appeals court Thursday allowing President Trump to keep control of National Guard troops he deployed to Los Angeles following protests over immigration raids. Hurricane Eric slamming Mexico's Pacific coast as a powerful Category 3 storm. It's the first hurricane to hit Mexico this year. This is ABC News.